The text today is taken from Habakkuk. This is the book of Habakkuk, page 493 in your Bibles. I will be reading from chapter 1, only the first four verses. So Habakkuk chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. Hear the word of the Lord. The burden which the prophet Habakkuk saw. O Lord, how long shall I cry, and you will not hear? Even cry out to you violence, and you will not save? Why do you show me iniquity and cause me to see trouble? For plundering and violence are before me. There is strife, and contention arises. Therefore, the law is powerless, and justice never goes forth, for the wicked surround the righteous. Therefore, perverse judgment proceeds. The word of the Lord. Let us pray. Father, we have heard your word. Help us to hear you, to understand, and to obey. Hide me. And may Christ be heard and be seen. In Jesus' name. Amen. Our guest speaker today is Habakkuk. He is coming from back in the days where Israelites were about to be exiled. But before we go there, let me start you with a short introduction. How much do you get from getting to know someone by saying, "Hello, my name is Leo." You don't get a lot, eh? It's just the name. It doesn't tell you much. But you learn about someone more from the person's speech, his cry, his complaints, what he talks about. You can even look at children and learn a lot from their cries. A toddler, for example, when they cry, you see at least two things. One, you know whom this child belongs to. They will run to their parents. And two, you will know what he cares about, what his heart is about. I'm hungry, probably. Or I'm tired, I'm sleepy. So from the cry, we know more about a person. Likewise, adults, our cry, our complaints, what we talk about, those reveal what burdens us, what is in our heart. Why is the sermon so long? I'm hungry. And people driving slow, why do you drive so slow? I'm hungry. You arrive at home, lunch is not ready, why? It's all the complaints that we have. But these are small things, right, children? But that reveals your burden, what is in your heart. And that burden comes from what? The identity of who we are. That affects everything. A father, for example, what's the burden of a father? Identity, father. Burden, to provide for his family, to love his family. Or a student, what's the burden of a student? I should study well. Now, the culture today puts so much emphasis on identity. You hear the mantra out there. Be true to yourself. Follow your heart. You be you. Be what you want to be. This is what the world is preaching today, telling everybody to do it. You feel so, do so. What you want to do, do it. Follow your heart. And we value that identity so much, our identity, we guard it. That's our burden. We proclaim it. We seek to be affirmed, and we defend it. We get so offended when we get misunderstood, for example, because our identity is what matters. This is me. This is what matters. We complain about things that impedes me from doing what I want. We complain about things that do not serve me, that do not make me feel good. So at the end of the day, I am the king. your identity rules. The Bible calls this as self-seeking people. And there are only two categories in the Bible. You can see that in Romans 2, for example. It's clear, Paul says. One is either God-seeking or self-seeking. If you're God-seeking, you will not serve yourself. You will serve God. If you're serving yourself, you have no place for God. There's no middle ground. You either serve God, God-seeking, or self-seeking. And here we are. I am what I want to be. I will do what I want. I will eat as much as I want. I will be true to myself. I will say what I want to say. Self-seeking. Today, then, we will look at Habakkuk. This is the God-seeking man. And we will learn, if I were to summarize the sermon in one sentence, I will say, true faith shapes our identity, our burden, and our cry to God. So there are these three things: our identity, burden, cry. And that's our outline today. So you will see the identity of Habakkuk, the burden of Habakkuk, and the cry. I was aiming for ABC, but I couldn't find the word that starts with an A, except for anonymity. You will start, Leo, that's not correct. It's not. Why? Because we have the name Habakkuk. What do you know about Habakkuk? His identity. What do you know? There is nothing else we get from the Bible about Habakkuk, seriously. Only mentioned in his book. And the data that we have, the information we have, is only the word that comes before that. Look at verse 1. Chapter 1, verse 1 of Habakkuk. The burden which the prophet Habakkuk saw. Name, Habakkuk. Identity, the prophet. That's it. You want to see more? Look at his cry. You can jump to verse 2, you see. He cries to whom? To Yahweh. Now you know more about him. See how it plays out? You see the cry, you know more about the person. Habakkuk is a prophet of God, the prophet of Yahweh. But I want to draw your attention, the brevity of his introduction tells us that his main concern is not for himself to be known. His burden is not to waste time and brag about himself. This is all you need to know about me, he says. I'm Habakkuk, the prophet. My identity is not important, but listen to my message. I must decrease, but he whom I preach must increase. This is what Habakkuk is doing. Let me be hidden, but see him. Let me be forgotten, but remember him whom I'm talking about. So who are you, Habakkuk the prophet? Why are you here? I am here proclaiming the burden from God. What is this word burden? We go to our second point. We know the identity, very short. Second point, the burden. The word burden comes from Hebrew word masa. If you check your other versions of Bible, they translate it as oracle or utterance. It's not wrong, but I believe the best translation, the most accurate, is burden. And you see this word used a lot by Isaiah, the burden against the city, the burden against that city, the oracle against that city, oracle against that city. You know what I mean? So why burden? Because Habakkuk as a prophet, his burden is to bring God's word to God's people. So his identity informs his burden of the heart. It's related. Let us pause there and evaluate our lives. Christians, people of God, what is your identity? You might be known by what you do. I'm a father. I'm an accountant. I'm a pianist. I'm a farmer. But what if you retire? Are you still that? We ground our identity on the things that do not last. I'm a child. I'll grow up. But if you are in Christ, what is your identity? Heidelberg Catechism tells me very well. My name is Leo, and I am a Christian. What does that mean? Short answer, Christian means follower of Christ. Long answer. I am not my own, but belong body and soul in life and in death to my faithful Savior Jesus Christ. That is my identity. Who are you? I'm not my own. Who are you? I am of Jesus Christ. I belong to him. This is your identity. Do you remember that? It is sad that we often forget who we are. Don't be like the man who forgets his face after you walk away from the mirror. James says that. Remind yourself each day, each morning when you wake up, ding, I am not my own, but belong to Jesus Christ. Why am I here? My burden is to proclaim the word of God to everyone that comes my way today. So verse 1 gives us Habakkuk's identity. Verse 1 also tells us his burden, right? Identity, burden. Now we go to verse 2 and we have his cry. Identity, burden, cry. Third heading of the sermon. You expect a short sermon, not quite. So third point, Habakkuk's cry or concern. Before we look at the cry, let's get acquainted with Habakkuk. You do not get him referenced at all in the Bible, but if you play with the history, children, you might be better than me at this, so pay attention carefully and correct me if I'm wrong. Habakkuk lives at the time around Jeremiah's time. What time is this? This is a time when Israel has been separated, broken into two. Northern kingdom and southern kingdom, Judah, Israel and Judah. But at this time, the northern kingdom is gone, done. They were sent to exile by the Assyrians. And Judah is about to be exiled. The time is coming. What happens in Judah at that time? Terrible thing. Remember one of the good kings of Judah? King Josiah. King Josiah brought reform, right? Like, throw all the false altars and brought the worship of the Lord back. But then when he died, his children immediately put back all the idolatry. Sad, sad reality. So there's King Jehoahaz. That's Josiah's fourth son. He only reigned for 3 months. Done. He did what is evil in the sight of the Lord, 2 Kings 23. And then Eliakim, Josiah's second son, succeeded him, reigned for 11 years. He did what is evil in the sight of the Lord. This is like a refrain. You hear that again and again and again. Habakkuk lives and probably writes during this time, this king. He saw the reform, but then he also saw how it just went back. So now we can understand why Habakkuk cries like that. Look at his cry. Back to our book, Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 2. How long is his cry? How long? You know, how long is originally God's cry, repeatedly in the Bible. In Exodus 16, 28, and the Lord said to Moses, how long will you refuse to keep my commandments and my law? Numbers 14, and the Lord said to Moses, how long will these people despise me? And how long will they not believe in me, in spite of all the signs that I have done among them? Move forward, Psalm 4. Oh man, says God, how long shall my honor be turned into shame? How long will you love vain words and seek after lies? You think this is just in the Old Testament? Go to Matthew 17, you see that Jesus saying, oh faithless and twisted generations, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? God cries, how long? Because of his people's lack of faith, his people's disobedience. So we see God's people likewise cry out, how long, as they see the wicked world Revelation 6 tells us, verse 10, they cried out with loud voice, O sovereign Lord, holy and true, how long before you will judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on earth? This is the saints waiting for the coming of Jesus. We ask, how long? And Habakkuk here, he's crying to God because of the wickedness. So you see in verse 2, O Lord, Habakkuk 1:2, O Lord, how long shall I cry? And you will not hear. Even cry out to you, violence, and you will not save. Verse 2 says that. But if you think about it, Habakkuk speaks to God, accusing God, saying, complaining to God, how long and you will not hear? Are you there, God? Look at verse 3. Why do you show me iniquity, God? He says. Why do you cause me to see trouble, God? So Habakkuk's saying, like, God, what are you doing? Can you believe the prophet of God? He asked God this. God, what are you doing? Where are you? Is this not irreverent? Is this not blasphemous, some people would say? But allow me to put into perspective this. Let's get back to the analogy of children. No matter how angry the children to the parents, they will still run back to their parents. Even when they're adults, you will still call your parents. You will cry out to them. What does that tell you? These children know that they belong to their parents. Christians, likewise, even when you have complained and you don't understand God, run back to God because you know you belong to Him. He's your Father. So Habakkuk just did that. He does just that. He goes back to his Father. Why, God? He brings his frustration to God. He asks God. And I will tell you, he asks out of faith. I have faith that he is my Father and he hears. I have faith that he is sovereign. If you jump later in chapter verse 12, you see that he tells, sovereign God, true God, holy God. He knows his God so well. He knows the character of God. That is why precisely he has the faith to ask God the questions. Do you have this faith, a childlike faith, to go to your Father, trusting that he is your Father? He's not gonna turn you away. Come to him and ask him. Come to him and bring your frustration to him. I encourage you to read the book. It's only 3 chapters, less than 20 minutes, I believe. I preach this as a series, so we will skip the middle ones. Tonight's sermons will be from chapter 3. So read it at home, and you will have better grasp of the book. But Habakkuk knows God, and he complains to God out of this childlike faith. He knows his God. Open your Bible so that you know your God, so that you know that he is for you. He has redeemed you, and he loves you in Jesus Christ. Be assured of that, and come to him, cry to him. Now let's look at Habakkuk's complaint, verse 3 still. Habakkuk 1:3, this is the later portion. For plundering and violence are before me. There is strife and contention arises. Law is powerless. Justice never goes forth. The wicked surround the righteous. Therefore, perverse judgment proceeds. Habakkuk is living in Judah, among God's people, and yet the law is not upheld. There's strife, there's contention. So his questions? Look at his cry. What's the content? We know that he cries to God, and he cries for God's sake. This is the God-seeking man. His cry is for God's justice to be executed. His cry is for God's law to be established. His cry is for God's shalom, for God's peace to be restored. So his cry reflects the burden of his heart. And that burden of his heart comes from the identity of who he is. He's a God-seeking man. Christians, how often do we cry for God's sake, not for our own? Our burden is often about ourselves. Our complaints, often for our sakes, for comfort. Children, when we complain, when we are not happy about things, is it for God or is it for me? It is self-serving. The whole human race, indeed, we can see from that, is corrupted by sin. Our hearts are polluted from birth, from conception, so that we are self-seeking. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick, desperately wicked. Who can understand it? We can't. Even when we pray for peace, often it is for our peace. We want comfort, so we pray for our government. We pray for our nation so that we may live peacefully. Like, it's ultimately self-seeking. But do we have God's purpose in our hearts? That's why even David says, "Search my heart, O Lord." David prays in Psalm 139, "Do I not hate them, O Lord, who hate you? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you?" says David. "I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them my enemies." And then immediately he says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." We cannot be sure that we are pure in what we want, in what we cry for, in our prayers even. We can only ask God to purify our desires. But now let us step even back further. When you pray for God to wipe out wickedness, when we're fed up with the wickedness of the world, remember, you and I are the wicked ones. The war in Israel and Hamas, the war in Ukraine and Russia, is the same war in my heart and in your heart. We often get angry for wrong reasons. We often do not want to forgive. What we say destroy others, murder their identity. We are the wicked people, and we pray for wickedness to be wiped out by God. We will be wiped out. We cannot pray that. But let me introduce you to this one man who can rightfully pray that. His name is Jesus. This is the only man who is righteous, blameless, holy. But what did he do? He comes here right down straight to the mess. And he did not only get his hands dirty, he took all the mess upon himself and he died hanging on the tree, bearing the curse, so that you and I, the wicked ones, may be purified. His identity? He is the holy, holy, holy God. His burden is to save you and me. His cry? He cries to his Father, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?" What does that mean? My God, why have you forsaken me?" If anybody needs to be forsaken by God, that's you, that's me. But he is the one forsaken. If anybody may complain about wickedness, it's him, not you and me. But yet, here he is. But the Bible tells me, the perfect sinless Jesus was crushed by God for you and for me. His wounds heal us. The gospel is often truncated. What is the gospel? It gives you what? Forgiveness of sin, yes. But often we stop there. But the gospel is more than that. God will make you whole again. This is the gospel. He purifies you from your sin and He restores you. Psalm 23, right? He makes you whole again. All we have gone astray, everyone, we deserve the misery, the punishment, the judgment that is to come, we deserve it. But Jesus took it upon Himself so that you and I may live, so that we may cry to God in our misery. Without Jesus, you have no right to come to God. You have no right to call Him Father. Without Jesus, we stand condemned. Only by faith in Jesus, we have peace with God. Only through Jesus, we can call Him Father. The adoption that is irreversible. You are mine and I am yours. You are my people. Nobody will pluck you away from my hand. Only through Jesus. So before we go too far, first thing I have to say, if you are not in Jesus Christ, if your faith is not in the right Jesus proclaimed in the Bible, come to Him now, today. Do not wait. Remember the verse that we read today? Come now. Let us reason together, says God. Don't wait to settle your burdens. Don't wait to make your life right first and come to God. You will never be right. But God can make it right. You don't have to figure God out. Come and He will figure it out for you. You find Him in His Word and you will see Him. Come now is the call. Come to Jesus. And in Jesus, then you can pray. You can call Him Father. You can bring the complaints. Be like the child, childlike faith. All in your heart. He says what? Reason with me. So bring your questions, bring your petitions, your frustration. Come, He is your Father, and He knows your heart, and He will teach you. Come to Him. Now apply this. This is the vertical way, you and God. Apply that horizontally with one another. Often we just keep it to ourselves when we misunderstand something. One action, and we just like, oh, you're offended maybe, but you don't want to address it. But if you have faith in the relationship, in the identity, He is my brother in Jesus Christ. She is my sister in Jesus Christ. We are one. Then you have the reason to come, to reason with one another, to solve that misunderstanding, to live in peace, to forgive. So your faith in Jesus Christ makes your relationship correct with God, allows you to speak your mind, your heart, to straighten it with God and with one another. This is how the church should live. Children, if you have frustration to your parents, trust that they are your parents. Come to them. Tell them your frustration. And trust them. Even when you don't understand, trust them that they are for you. Parents, trust your Heavenly Father that every situation that happens at home, at work, He lets that happen so that we may see Him, that we may understand His love. So let us really apply the truth that we know, that we believe, hopefully, in Jesus to our lives. Come and reason. Reason to God, with God. Pour out your hearts. And let me close with this. When you pray, how long? You're praying for the second coming. You're praying for God to end wickedness. Are you ready? Are your loved ones ready? Are your neighbors ready? If you love them as you love yourselves, it's got to be your burden to preach this. To tell them this good news. Cry to them. Don't wait. Come now. Because they will be wiped out if Jesus comes. Is this your burden? Is this your identity? May that be shown in your cry. Let us pray. Father, we know that we are your children. Help us to not ground our identity on what we do, on what we have successfully done, but on what you have said, your word. You proclaim that we are your children, and that is enough. We believe that we are yours, and you are ours. Teach us when we doubt to trust in your character, the faithful, unchanging God. So when we cannot forgive ourselves, when we cannot make sense of what happens, let us not question who we are. Let us not question who you are, but let us come to you, cry to you. And Father, change our hearts. Give us the new burden to proclaim your gospel. Teach us to share this with humility and meekness. May our burden be not only to be heard, but also to win them for you. May Christ be heard, not me. May you be shown to be true, not me. May we not be so quick to defend ourselves when we are slandered. And may we act with meekness and humility, even when we hear Christ slandered. May we love as you do, and use our lives as we walk away from this wall, that we bring the peace that we have in this world out there, so that the world may be transformed and your kingdom be established. And until that day, Father, be with us. Send your Spirit so that we may work mightily for your glory. Use this congregation, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.